SSC. So why don't we break for lunch and meet up back here at 1 o'clock. The 1 o'clock agenda item is behind tab 8, Research Steering Committee, behind tab number 8. Dave, whenever you're ready.
Okay. We'll just first run through the list of documents you have there. You have the meeting summary, which is the principal document we'll be working from. Second, you have the draft five-year priorities, and you want the one that was handed out today. It says draft New England Fishery Management Council research priorities and data needs 2009 to 2013. Then you have two final reports that we reviewed, and last you have our policy on incorporation of research results for reference if you need it. So the committee met on October 30th in Mansfield. We covered a lot of ground. The first thing we did is receive a briefing from Dr. Hoey on fiscal year 2008 and fiscal year 2009 cooperative research partners activities. Major focus of fiscal year 2008, as you all know, involved making the industry-based survey and tagging data available to the GARM for stock assessment work per the council's request. Other fiscal year 2008 initiatives included the program leasing an eliminator trawl in cooperation with URI Sea Grant to help encourage and broaden the use of the gear among interested fishermen. There is not a lot of money available for cooperative research at the moment. There was status quo funding provided to the study fleet, infrastructure, field staff, and programming to improve record keeping and reporting, all of which will contribute and enable an expanded use of this tool. Six established study fleet vessel contracts were maintained, with four extended through 5/26/2009. No cost extensions were provided to hagfish and tilefish vessels, and 14 additional trawl vessels were added at the end of fiscal year 2008. Fiscal year 2008 funds will be used to support these vessels through September of 2009. While the overall fiscal year 2008 cooperative research program operated under a reduced budget, one of the major reasons for this, even though it was kind of level funded, is due to a national level rescission for NOAA fuel shortfall. However, core activities were maintained, including funding for the Research Steering Committee, the TAG reward programs, the UNH tagging symposium, and the second year of halibut tagging. But there was reduced funding for the Maine New Hampshire Inshore Groundfish Survey, and no additional funding was provided to the cod tagging program, which will run out of funds in March of 2009. And the Marine Resource Education Program will also not be funded probably after this coming winter. Dr. Hoey also announced that initial fiscal year 2009 activities will focus on a programmatic review of the New England Fishery Management Council and Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council research set-aside programs, as well as region-wide planning efforts over the next 3 to 5 months. This exercise will include the development of new cooperative research priorities that address issues raised during the groundfish assessment review meetings. And the cooperative research program will probably have very limited funds under the current continuing resolution, which is what we're operating under at the moment, unless the lame duck session of Congress decides to pass a Commerce Department budget. So that would be a first break if anybody has any questions.
So you said that there's likely not going to be continued support for the MREP program?
Not after this coming session. Not unless more funding becomes available.
So is that going to be
If they get funding from other sources, it has a number of different sources that are funding it. It's not just cooperative research money, but there'll probably be less sessions than there have been. I mean, there's been two science and two management sessions each year. There'll probably only be one here next year. I don't know. Did you want to comment on that, Mary Beth?
Sure. Thank you. There will just be a single set of sessions for MREP in 2009. and the funding is through the consortium. So we lost 50% of our funding.
Okay, next, we had a discussion of multi-year research priorities. This was quite a lengthy discussion. This is a requirement of the reauthorization of the Magnuson Act, that we provide research priorities for an initial five-year period. People should keep in mind this is all research. This is not just cooperative research. So we had to kind of refine and prioritize the council's oversight committee plan development team's list of research needs, and we agreed its immediate chore was to address this legal requirement and provide this list of work, and then to work on a separate list of cooperative research purposes at a later date. This document's available behind tab 2, if people want to look at it. We tried to group the priorities with respect to themes without additional prioritization, basically because we didn't have the time to actually rank everything that was listed by the committees and the council. And we tried, if you look at the document, you can see that there are overarching themes. So, for example, you know, it starts off with fisheries, then it goes to stock assessments and surveys, fishery performance and fishery monitoring, fisheries management, fisheries interactions, expanded ecosystem studies, protected species, habitat, and economic and social information is listed under other areas of research. We tried to make it as useful as possible. So under each of these categories, any species committee that had a priority is listed. So you may find some things listed more than once on when they kind of crossed big heading boundaries. We produced this list to be handed over to the SSC. Dr. Cadron's here to present next, and he'll give you the update on what the final form will look like, because they worked on it some more after we did. So does anybody have any questions on that? Yes, Nancy.
Yeah, just in terms of process, thank you for that list. The intention then is that this list goes to the SSC, right? Okay, and then when it comes back, it'll be in terms of actual research priorities. And then this is the document then that I'm assuming comes to me with the priorities from the other council, and that I put together as the document that goes forward to our agency relative to priorities, right, for this council. Okay, all right. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah, and actually I think Steve will be probably presenting you with the SSC's recommendations right after me, which probably vary from what we've produced here.
Yeah, and one more comment is that I really appreciate the fact that it's organized by theme, which I think is really valuable. I think that's the right way to go, as opposed to focusing on single species or stocks. So it's good.
Yeah, it was, I have to say, it was a lot of work and a lot of, I don't want to say haggling, but it was hard to come up with a way that it would work. We wanted a format that would be useful for people that were reading it, and we thought the thematic approach was the best way to do that. So,
Paul,
see if
Howard.
I have any.
Dave, you said that the SSCs would vary from your list, or
I don't know. Exactly. I met briefly with Steve last night,
okay,
and he said that they had I think some additions to the list.
What would be helpful at a certain point is when there is a motion for the council to approve it, that someone's there to incorporate or something. But whatever the list is should be approved by the council to submit to the Science Center as part of our obligation under the MSA.
That's correct. After Steve's report, we probably can entertain that motion. Assuming they finished their work on it yesterday, we should have a finalized list. The next thing we did is review two final reports. The first one was a pilot gillnet survey of the Cassius Ledge closed areas with principal investigators Kevin Kelly from Maine DMR and Captain Matt Thompson of Monhegan Island, Maine. This was a pilot project to use gill nets to survey a closed area to see if they could develop a relative index of abundance for adults. They used panels of gill nets strung together in different mesh sizes and then set in different depths, and they did it by season. So they had nets set in 25 fathoms, 50 fathoms, and 75 fathoms in the Cassius Ledge closed area at different seasons. They hauled them, they cataloged the fish, tried to produce a pilot project that might be useful for monitoring closed areas when you wanted to either sample areas that are incapable of being sampled by trawls, or you wanted a less invasive means of sampling. The principal fish caught were whitehake, cod, and pollock, and they did demonstrate that there was movement seasonally within this area where different fish were caught in different depths at different times of the year. They did have some technical shortfalls. This project was funded by the consortium and was reviewed by them. We agreed with their reviewers that there were technical issues that would have to be addressed before this program could be expanded. One of the principal ones was the fact that the nets used, let's see if I could explain this well, the nets used the same number of meshes per panel, but because they were different mesh sizes, the head rope height was actually different as you went from smaller mesh to bigger mesh. So you didn't have a uniform height to the nets, so you had basically an ability to select differentially. You also had some kind of bowing down of the nets where they were tied together in some places. But we agreed that, as a pilot project, it demonstrated the feasibility of producing relative indexes of abundance for species. Again, it wasn't designed to sample flounders and it wasn't designed to sample juveniles because the smallest mesh used was 5.5 inch. But does anybody have any questions on that?
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, David, this work was done a few years ago, and the report is finally done, and it's before us, and the Research Steering Committee has reviewed it and made some comments on the results of the project, but it's still unclear to me as to whether or not the Research Steering Committee is indicating that this should be moved forward as a continued way, or as a way to monitor closed areas. Has this study been... Have there been any other years of similar work that we have for which we have not yet received a report, or was this just 1 year and then that was it?
Yeah, it's just 1 year. It was a pilot project. I don't believe it's ever been funded as a full research proposal. And I think again, what the committee felt is that it was useful as a pilot, and if the technical issues that were raised were resolved, it may have some merit as a means of monitoring closed areas as a full research proposal. For one thing, it only sampled two seasons, spring and summer. It didn't sample winter and fall. And as I said, I mentioned the mesh differences. Another issue was, again, this has been an ongoing issue with all mesh studies, that they bought what I call off-the-shelf gill nets. Nominally 5.5, nominally 6, nominally 6.5, but when you actually measure them, they turn out to be a little bigger or a little smaller. If you're going to do research, you would actually have to have stuff that was uniform and was the size that it was supposed to be. I'll bring that up again in the next one that we review, because it had the same problem. Those types of issues, they're technical issues that somebody who is thinking about applying for research using this method would want to address in their research proposal, and that is our recommendation, that if before a program like this was to be funded, these issues would have to be addressed. Okay, the next project we reviewed was the effects of cod end mesh size on multi-species yield and spawning stock biomass in the Western Georges Bank trawl fishery. The principal investigators were Joe Delateris And David Chosid, who was at URI at the time, and this was a Salt and Stall Kennedy program funded event. And I want to note for the record that Mike Pohl recused himself from the discussion because of his employment relationship with one of the PIs. And basically, this project was to look at mesh selectivity on a large commercial fishing vessel and integrate the results of the study into a yield per recruit and a spawning stock biomass per recruit model, evaluating the effects of incrementally increasing mesh sizes. So this was basically a master's thesis project. And the parts of it that let me go into first what it did. They used alternative tow methods with small mesh liner and then meshes of various sizes, 6.5 square in diamond, 7 square in diamond, and 8 square in diamond, to get mesh selectivity. And they were able to get enough samples to be able to conduct their study on winter flounder, yellowtail flounder, and Atlantic cod and pollock. They had also had listed in their study as doing this with haddock, but they did not catch enough haddock to be able to basically run the math. And again, they had nominal mesh sizes, and I say that because when they actually went and measured it, some of the 6.5 were smaller than 6.5. The 7 was relatively close, and the 8 actually averaged about 8.25 inches, so it was bigger than 8 inch, which tends to confound the results a little bit when you're trying to apply them across the board. As the authors summarize, the results of these analyses showed that the multi-species yield per recruit is maximized for 7-inch diamond-shaped cod and mesh size for these species, the ones I listed earlier. And further, that the existing 6.5-inch mesh cod and mesh size, if we retain it, we might want to consider raising the minimum size for winter flounder and for yellowtail in order to preclude circumvention of the groundfish minimum size regulations. And again, it was hard for the committee to tease out how much of that recommendation was a result of the fact that the 6.5 really wasn't 6.5, it was smaller. And so those results, while not suspect per se, might be open to interpretation based on the effective mesh size. There was also a relatively short period of time in which the work was conducted, so it was not indicative across the seasons and temperature variations that occur in the area, which, as many of you know, affects recruitment to the gear. Fish are basically able to get out of the same size fish has more chance of escaping gear when the water temperature is warm than it does when it's cold. So there are seasonal variations in mesh selectivity from other studies. One of the authors was there. He engaged extensively in our discussions, which was very useful. And he did make some notes that some of the information presented in this, because it was done a few years ago, is probably irrelevant today. So the figures on page 55 and 56 should not be used because of likely changes in the stock structure. And the committee had some concerns. This is one of the largest vessels in the groundfish fleet, towing in very hard bottom. And we had some concern that the species sampled may not be representative of the fishery in general. In other words, they tend to be sampling in places where very few other people could fish. So it may not necessarily be representative of what the fleet as a whole samples. And so I'll take any questions on that if people have them. The report's there. There's a lot of math in the report. Yield per recruit and spawning stock biomass per recruit are fairly complicated concepts, and I'm not going to pretend to tell you I can explain all the math to you.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Next, we discussed issues related to council research set-aside programs. I skipped one. Workshops is a vehicle for research steering committee management reviews. We had some discussion about whether our current, now that we've reviewed a lot of proposals, whether our current committee structure is the right way to conduct these reviews. We determined that it is the proper way for doing the actual reviews, but that workshops could be very useful vehicles across a broad spectrum of similar projects. In other words, hold a workshop on, say, tagging, and get all the people who have tagged various kinds of fish together in a room and have discussions on tagging in general. The workshops have a use as well, but not for doing these critical reviews of the projects, that those are better kept using the methods we're currently using. Any questions on that? Okay. Lastly, we had a discussion about the research set-aside programs. As many of you know, there are a number of research set-asides now. They all have, slightly different variations on the same theme. Some of them, some issues have been raised now that they've been put into practice for a while. And the Science Center is going to undertake a programmatic review of the Council's research set-aside programs. Leading up to these reviews, there'll be a series of meetings that'll take place to gather information for those of you that are interested. There'll be a panel formed early next year that will include experts who are able to evaluate all aspects of research set-aside programs and make recommendations to NIMS and the Council regarding the research set-aside programs. The first meeting will be a fact-finding workshop focusing on the economic performance of the research set-aside programs in the Northeast region. This will be held on Monday, December 8th at 9 a.m. at the Narragansett, Rhode Island Northeast Fisheries Science Center Laboratory Conference Room. And for more information, you're urged to contact Dr. Earl Meredith. Any questions on that?
Dave.
Yes.
The review panel that's going to be constituted by the Science Center?
That's correct.
And is there any discussion on the composition of the panel, or is that what this meeting is about? Who should be on the panel?
I'm going to have to defer to either, I see John's in the audience, or Pat.
Pat?
It's my understanding, maybe Nancy and John know a little bit better, but my understanding is that they're going to hold a series of meetings with stakeholders and various interested parties, and that the review panel itself hasn't been established just yet, with the individuals identified.
To add to that, the council did receive a note from Nancy, and the decisions about who would be on it would be done in consultation. The first meeting is specifically focused on fact-finding relative to how people are making decisions to convert set-aside, whether it's pounds or days across the various species, into funds. And there's not been a review of that. We can't, we'd like to get everybody in a room together to get some information on that. We'll have some resource economists and others, again, looking for options to come up with standard approaches that'll help us when we're evaluating across projects fairly. Right now, consistently when we run reviews, we have a number of questions that come up on that every year, and it'd be better for us to know, what are causing the differences between the price per pound and value that's assigned across the different projects within an RSA program and then across projects between RSA programs. There are very different systems that have been used, and there may be some opportunities there to constrain things and get a better set of rules and procedures.
Paul?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. A quick question for John. In Scallops, we use our set-aside program for both observer coverage and for research. Will you be looking at set-aside programs and just focused on research, or our potential to use set-aside programs for monitoring and things like that?
My job is the research side of things. I think the information that we can come up with on the valuation may be helpful across the board, but our focus is on the research projects that that respond to the council's priorities that are put in the FFOs every time we run one of those.
Dave Preble, then Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to throw in one little 2 cents worth here. I think that on this oversight committee that I would like to see them make sure that there are at least some members of the panel that are fishermen that are actually involved in the research set-aside program, because they have some specific points of view that I think need to be a part of the oversight.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly our objective. In particular, I could really use some sharp marketing people who understand valuation and those types of things. I'm not going to kid anyone to say that I have an idea of doing that, but we're in a free market world where people are attempting to estimate what the price may be a full year in advance so that they have enough. And that then ends up being a very risky situation. We've had letters come back to us where people have spent 10 days at sea working on an open area day at sea access trip, and the cruise shares ended up being, you know, $50, $60, $70, as opposed to getting into a closed area where the yields were much higher and the risk then to the operator was less. And what we're looking for is something that balances that out and is fair. It's a hell of a disincentive for a commercial fisherman to be out there working for 10 days and then make $50 because he was involved in a cooperative research project. And so we are trying to bring these things forward, and also we have we're in the process of having some extensive discussions with the Fisheries Acquisition Law Division and a lot of the contract and grants administration people in headquarters to try and look for ways to streamline these procedures so that they're easier, quicker, faster for everybody and can be more efficient. So that's our objective.
That was my point. I've heard a lot of, I'm going to almost say complaints from people who have been a part of it that that have had problems with making the numbers work. That's why I would like to see them involved with it. Thank you.
Dr. Pierce.
I pass, Mr. Chairman.
That doesn't mean you get more time the next time. Anyone else for Dave? Dave?
Okay, the last thing I had to report is not in the summary, and that is we reviewed a Federal Register notice that proposes to replace the CMOR program with cooperative institutes, and we didn't really have any comments because it's really beyond our purview to comment on it, but I just wanted to make people aware that that change has been proposed. And if you have any questions, probably direct them to Dr. Thompson.
Anything else, Dave?
No, that's it. Concludes my report, unless anybody's got any questions.
Any other questions for Dave on the committee's work or what's coming up? Maybe Pat or Dave, we have a couple of minutes. Maybe you could just give us an indication of what you're going to be doing next.
Well, we've still got some final reviews of projects. I believe there's, last I knew, about 8 that have come in the last month or so that'll need to be reviewed. We also, as I stated earlier, now that we've got this kind of Magnuson-mandated research priorities list developed, we would like to develop a cooperative research priorities list in the hopes that money will become available in the future so we can get back to doing more cooperative research. I think those are the two things that come to mind right quickly.
Okay. Pat, anything else in the pipeline you want us to know about? That's it. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll move right into the next agenda item.